From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Thursday, November 21st. Coming up, we'll learn about some issues at the University of Illinois that continue to create barriers for disabled students. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Yesterday marked the 25th Transgender Day of Remembrance. Uniting Pride of Champaign County and the Unitarian Universalist Church held a candlelit vigil to honor the lives lost due to anti-trans violence. IPM student reporter Adeline Moy was there.
Reverend Beth Mahalan read out the names of 69 trans individuals who died over the last year. Speakers at the event in Urbana shared their concerns about anti-trans violence. Some talked about what would happen when former President Trump returns to office. Mahalan says she wants to create a space for community members who have felt threatened or at risk.
I, as a minister, as my congregation, can't change the entire world, can't by ourselves make this community safer and more inclusive. But when we are in coalitions and collaborations with all of our community partners, we're all stronger, we're all safer, and we're all thriving more than we would otherwise.
Attendees gather to light candles and show solidarity with trans community members. I'm Adeline Moy, IPM News.
The Chancellor of the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, is resigning in June, and the search process for his successor has begun. One of Robert Jones's most tangible legacies has been significantly expanding financial aid for students. IPM's Emily Hayes has more.
U of I wasn't originally Farrah Green's dream school, but the school's financial aid package was better than what she could get elsewhere, even with her 4.0 GPA. Green's family makes less than $75,000 a year. That makes her eligible for U of I's Illinois Commitment, which covers tuition and fees for eligible undergraduates.
A lot of the students who wouldn't have been able to go to college without having basically a full ride, they would not be able to go to the engineering programs here, which is top 10, I believe, like such a good engineering program here.
The initiative began under Chancellor Robert Jones in 2018. One in three families in the state meet the income criteria. I'm Emily Hayes with IPM News.
Officials with the Danville School District 118 say they've reached an agreement with Superintendent Alicia Geddes to have her return to working in person. That says Geddes has been working remotely amid claims that she faced threats from white supremacists. The superintendent says she received a letter this summer whose author claimed to be with the Ku Klux Klan. That was after she asked for the removal of Confederate flags on display during a high school graduation ceremony. At a meeting last night, Danville School Board President Randall Ashton read a statement from the group on the threats and Geddes' planned return. Geddes also said she noticed truck drivers following her home from work at the start of the school year. She's been the district superintendent for nearly 10 years. Illinois legislators are debating how to stop drugs from getting into state prisons. Mawa Iqbal reports.
The union representing prison workers says drug use in prisons has exploded. Republican lawmakers want to ban incoming paper mail because it's being soaked in synthetic drugs and fentanyl. State Representative David Freese says all mail should be scanned, then accessed digitally.
While we all have valued the connections that physical mail provides, it's hard to ignore the very real risk to safety that comes with it right now.
But Democrats like State Representative Kelly Cassidy say not so fast.
The answer to drug abuse is treatment, not more policing.
The Illinois Department of Corrections didn't immediately comment on the proposal. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Still to come, we'll learn about some issues at the University of Illinois that continue to create barriers for disabled students. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, your forecast. From Illinois Public Media News, I'm Kimberly Schofield. Here's a look at your forecast. The National Weather Service has a wind advisory and hazardous weather outlook in effect today across central Illinois. A period of wet snow will occur this afternoon with minor accumulations on grassy surfaces. Roadways should remain clear. There are wind chill readings as well in the 20s today with 40 to 50 mile per hour winds. Otherwise, for today, that snow is likely before 3 p.m., then rain possibly mixed with snow and a high of 38 degrees. Tonight, a chance of rain or snow again, cloudy with a low around 35 degrees. And tomorrow on Friday, cloudy with a high near 45 degrees. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a low around 33 degrees. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 48 degrees.
Next time on the 21st Show, when it comes to the most contentious issues in our politics, what do you know to be true? What are you certain of? Author Alana Redstone says you're probably certain of too much. Her new book, The Certainty Trap, argues we should be questioning ourselves more and judging others less. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You are listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The University of Illinois was a pioneer in campus accessibility. It remains one of the most accessible schools in the world. But some issues continue to create barriers for disabled students. For IPM Student Newsroom, Leila Nazarva reports.
Alex Bibbs is a senior and a wheelchair user at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. For the past 3 years, they've been working hard towards their disability studies minor. But with one required class left, they said they had to drop the minor one semester before graduation.
We are in room 138 of the Henry Administration Building, where my HK480 class occurred. This is where my minor of disability studies career ended. And right on cue.
The reason they dropped the class? An inaccessible bathroom. The women's bathroom right next to their class had accessible signage, but Bibbs wasn't able to use it because their wheelchair got stuck at the door, which has a tall marble threshold. Once they made it over with the help of two classmates, they realized the stall was too narrow for them to get in. We went there together to see. Bibbs showed me how the door doesn't automatically open.
Now I'm using both of my feet to push the door open.
I held the door as they wheeled in and tried to enter the stall.
Still stuck. Each wheel is just kind of hitting the stall. It's so narrow. It's not up to the ADA measurements.
The old gender bathroom nearby has a wider stall, but also has a marble threshold and a door with a lever handle that requires the ability to push it open. Looking for help, Bibbs said they reached out to their professor, but didn't get any support.
The head professor said that no one had brought up about the inaccessible bathroom before. They said it was not possible to find another building. It made me feel like I was an inaccessibility.
That professor declined to comment for the story. But Stephen Breitweiser, a spokesperson for U of I Facilities and Services, responded to questions via email. He said the bathroom Bibbs couldn't get into does not, in fact, meet ADA standards and was, quote, mistakenly labeled as accessible. He said service requests have been initiated to fix that. He didn't give a timeline for the changes. The Federal Americans with Disabilities Act requires all accessible bathrooms in commercial facilities and public areas to comply with ADA standards. The bathroom should be wide enough for a wheelchair to easily roll in. The door should not be heavy, and the toilet and sink should be within reach. Robin Deterding is the former associate director of U of I Campus Recreation and an expert in universal design and accessibility. She says that even bathrooms that meet ADA standards are not fully accessible to all disabled people.
Part of the thing with ADA is it is the bare minimum. You go in a place that says it's ADA compliant, and you have to think about, we're providing you with this space, but can you physically use it with dignity and with respect?
Many accessible bathrooms, she says, have issues with locks or have gaps. Deterding says the key to solving inaccessibility issues is universal design that includes the needs of everyone. She uses the term curb cut effect to explain.
Curb cut effect means I started with one idea, but it expanded to be able to assist so many others. We were making a family changing area, not realizing that our students who were LGBTQ+, that was a place for them.
She says an example of the most universally designed building on campus is the Chez Veterans Center. I went there with Bibbs to see the difference in accessibility.
Very smooth transition from the tile into the stall. There's enough space for the wheelchair to go inside. It's wide, and I'm very stoked right now.
This whole experience has inspired Bibbs to fight for the rights of disabled students. They organized a march on campus in late October.
Not just for some, access for all.
Not just for some.
and they've been seeking support for a petition.
As says for all, not just for some, help your fellow disabled student, make our campus more accessible. Do you guys
want to
make
They want the U of I to improve infrastructure accessibility and create a norm of care and allyship on campus, as well as improve communication between the university and students with disabilities.
I'm not asking for them to rebuild a whole part or half of a part of a building, but I'm asking for a reasonable accessibility. So if that means that a ramp needs more concrete in it, there needs to be signage stating that. I love this university so much that I want to make sure that it lives up to its name and more. That means going beyond just showing the good parts. So that means doing everything that I'm doing right now.
BIPS hopes their efforts bring about change, if not for themselves, then for future students. For IBM News, I'm Lillian Azarva.
And that's it for today. 2 in 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Adeline Moy, Emily Hayes, Anulika Ochuba, Mawa Iqbal, and Lelina Zarva. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 in 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.